Welcome back to the Jefferson My Drinks Fantasy Podcast, where we are on a mission to normalize 18 leagues. I'm your host for this week, Ian Harrison, and I'm joined by my usual partners in crime.
Pete McManus.
Alan Monk.
Ah, evening, boys. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Yeah, been a good couple of weeks.
It's been a quiet couple of weeks, NFL-wise, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think after the first week of free agent frenzy died down. I think we're scraping the barrel for free agency news now, aren't we, a little bit?
Yeah. There's still a lot of bang average running backs unsigned, but I think they might stay that way for about 5 months at least.
Yeah.
Someone, haven't they? At some point.
Who's that, sorry?
Cowboys have got to pick up somebody at some point. They can't just keep waiting.
Do they know?
They've got Deuce Vaughn as the RB1 at the moment.
For one of my dynasty teams is looking fantastic.
No, they brought back what's he called? Dowdle.
They brought Dowdle back.
I picked him up. You can tell we're in the massive throes of dynasty season because I picked him up in that dynasty. League as well. I've got the space. I might as well add him and you see what happens.
Yeah, was that the orphan? You picked up an orphan team, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was a mess.
Yeah, and he's desperate for running back, so I was like, I'll have him.
I'll say down.
Because if he starts one game for them, it'll be more than what the rest of my roster's doing. So
yeah. And it's not a good draft to go into this year if you are short on running backs in Dynasty.
No.
H, what do you think on that?
It just depends who your running backs are, really, doesn't it?
If you're taking a team that's an absolute mess, you are desperate for running backs, it's not a good year for you.
Although there is some stat, and I shared this with H the other week, there's some stat going around that two rookie running backs have finished in the top 20 every year for like the last 10 or 12 years. So where they're going to come from, but they will come from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I can believe that given the amount of injuries that happen to running backs in general.
There'll be someone.
With the way that the running backs are, there's going to be some waiver claims put in like early doors of like just random, like I don't know, like a Dowley hitting 100 yards in the first game and everyone's going to dive on it thinking or hoping he's going to be this year's Karen Williams. Whether it happens, different story. I know that we're going to talk about rookies and things like that coming up in the future, but there's maybe two, three as that seen as first down backs. So it'll be interesting to see. And like you mentioned there, I think it's probably going to be a difficult year if you've not got many.
As you mentioned, Karen, this is only a loose connection, but we're talking on the latest news and things we haven't talked about. What do you think about Aaron Donald retiring? Does he retire as the greatest ever defensive player?
No. No, he's not. Yeah, absolutely phenomenal player and one of the best to do it. I'll give him that.
Eight first team All Pros in a 10-year career is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a monster.
So like, he's an absolute. Who's better, age?
JJ.
JJ's not better. He's not. The problem is, he's JJ Watt was great. He hasn't got the ring to go with it.
Doesn't matter.
Aaron Donald's got the ring.
He's got the play. Considered the greatest ever.
Well, I think it helps, doesn't it? Especially if you made the play.
It's a team game, isn't it?
Yeah, but you made the play that won the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was a game that they should never have won anyway.
Oh, here we go. I managed to wind both of you up with one comment. Fantastic.
So what news has caught your eyes this week?
Also, like, don't forget Reggie White. Like, Reggie White didn't he hold like all defensive records? Like, it's, I mean, I didn't see him play that I can remember, but like, you hear all the stats and the figures and things like that, and he beats Donald Watt on like every category. So it's hard to say. Like, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah. I was joking because I hate those "do you think he's the best of all time" comment, because it's like, I've not been around long enough to know whether he's the best of all time. It's like, how can you compare someone now from 30 years ago? It's like any sport, it's just completely different to how it was 30 years ago. So
yeah,
when I was just a boy.
And the game's talking of now, isn't it?
Say again.
The game's different now, isn't it?
Talking of amazing defensive players, I don't know if you. The breaking news: Jadeveon Clowney has signed a 2-year deal with the Panthers.
Oh yes, I did. Yeah. I saw that. Was it 20 million for 2 years, something like that?
It's good money.
It's good money.
But he had a good season. He what was it 11 sacks last year. It's going to get you money.
But I could have a good season playing for the Ravens. So it's like it's a bit different playing for the Panthers, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the Panthers needed to make a move. I think they've done an okay one there in replacing Brian Burns.
Do you think he fills the gap?
It's a big gap to fill, but like if you look at Brian Burns' sack stats, it's way less than Jadeveon Clowney's. So it's a big move. Like, Brian Burns doesn't, although he's got quite a lot of QB pressures, he doesn't actually have sacks, and that's like one of the big things with him. I think he goes to the Giants. I know I'm moving off the actual topic, but him going to the Giants
is actually,
I know, because of Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, I think they'll work really well together. I think when you're in like a D line where there's only one defensive player, I think it's kind of hard and you get double teamed a lot. And yeah, Brian Burns seemed to suffer quite a lot with that last year. So it'd be interesting. Clowney's a good player. I've always liked him. So, yeah, it'd be an interesting one to see whether he can actually help the Panthers, though.
Yeah.
It's a big
the Panthers need a lot of help. He's not that good.
It's a big job. It's a big job. Yeah.
Can he throw the ball? What's he like outside the numbers?
Yeah.
You leave him alone.
Can you see over the line to throw a ball?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope for the Panthers' sake he does come good.
So since we last chatted, what news has caught your eyes this week?
I quite liked the, and I know it's going to be the Eagles, the team is unimportant. I like the fact that they're doing a Friday night game opening week of the season.
Okay.
And I was like, that's going to be a very late, that's going to be a very long weekend with a lot of late nights.
Yeah, but it is.
I like the fact that we kick off on a Thursday. We don't have to wait till Sunday for more football. We've got another game on Friday night.
That is true. And in one of the leagues that we're in, we have drafted on a Thursday evening before, haven't we?
And yeah, we're not doing that again.
And then watch the game.
Yeah.
We've been in the pub at 6 o'clock. Drafted,
not
and stayed up, watch the game, then do that again on a Friday.
Yeah, I didn't watch all of the game from what I can remember. Yeah, I was a big fan of that. The NFL and a couple of Christmas games as well. They've thrown in on a Wednesday. I was
Christmas Day game.
Yeah,
yeah.
The NFL are big fans of just putting extra games in wherever they can, and I'm all for it.
I'm all for it.
I think the Christmas Day ones are for players. Like, if you're playing like Sunday and then playing Wednesday, that's a lot to take on the body.
No, they said you're not going to do that. They're gonna move every team that's playing on the Wednesday. They're gonna move them to Saturday.
There you go.
So essentially Saturday. Sunday to Thursday, then, and yeah, I can understand that then.
Yeah. And I really like that, because you know, once you've opened your presents, you've had your dinner, Christmas Day is probably the most boring day of the entire year. And I know that's quite controversial.
To spend
Jesus.
time with family.
Because some people
Missed
live for Doctor Who at 7 o'clock in the evening.
Says it's Mr. Grinch over here, the Grinch of the podcast. After
Is
I've
like,
opened, how old are you? After I've opened my presents, it's
yeah. But then I open mine, and then I have to watch everyone else open theirs, which is boring. I just want to go
didn't know Ian was 40 going on 14. So.
my Xbox. I just want to open my presents and then everyone leave me alone for the day. And
Yeah, brilliant.
then just drop a dinner
Ridiculous.
off whenever you're ready.
We had people around us, and I was like, that is the one time when I think it was Chiefs Raiders, it was 6 o'clock. And I was like, could just do with it being like an hour and a half to 2 hours later, more like 8 o'clock. Just give me time to encourage everybody out of the house
Yeah,
so
can
that I could
everyone
then
please go?
settle down. And that game was a mess, and it was over by the time I sat down to start watching it this year. So yeah, that's the one time I want the NFL to just do things a bit later.
Wait.
Why are we talking about Christmas?
Yeah,
I'm
because
sorry, I'm moving this on. I'll take over now. What do you think about the new kickoff rules?
I love it.
Fan or not a fan? Like it?
I love it. I watched the XFL when it was going, and I thought it worked really well. It makes kickoff an actual event.
Yeah.
Whereas if they'd have let, like I said it in our group, if they'd have left it as it was, they might as well just get rid of kickoffs. There's absolutely
That's
no
it.
point in
There's
kicking off.
so many games. Well, it's basically become every game where they kick off and you're like, all right, we're ready for kickoff. And it's all right, okay, now there's an ad break because he just
Yeah.
goes through the back of the end
Oh,
zone. And it's
it's a
like, it's just a,
touchback and ad
yeah.
break. Brilliant. Thanks.
It's just a non-event. It's like, make the kickoff like actually interested again. I always think, when you think about kickoffs and exciting, I know it was against the Colts, but we went on to win that Super Bowl anyway. When the Bears, we kicked off and the Bears back for touchdown like on the first play of the game. It's like that's what you want. You want something to happen. You want it to kind of go, oh Jesus, we're off. The whole term kickoff suggests something's going to happen, and
Oh yeah.
we've started.
Yeah, it's just like people ease themselves into a game then, don't they? If they know it's going out for a touchback, they're like, oh, I could just ease into this. Whereas
Yeah.
they've got to be on it from minute one now, haven't they?
I do think they should have changed the onside kick thing's not going to work anymore.
Because it's not a
It didn't
surprise.
work. It doesn't really work anyway. I would have really loved, maybe that's the next step. Maybe the NFL sometimes likes to do things in stages, but maybe next year or the year after we'll have like a one-off 20, wait, like they've talked about doing a 4th and 25 in the past, haven't they? Or
It
some,
was
if like just get one.
a 4th and 20 on your own 30, I believe it was.
See, I'm
So,
all for that. Like
yeah,
that just adds
give
to
us
the
one play to get 20 yards in the first down and get the ball back.
yeah.
If we don't, and you get the ball just outside the red zone,
Yeah.
that'd be so much more fun. And
Yeah, I'm all for
I think instead of overtime, just go to penalty shootouts.
what
In the
kickers?
it, no no no. No, in the end zone, if you go in for two after a touchdown, 5 attempts each team.
Now you're taking it another step further.
I'd rather see that instead of overtime. We'll see a quarterback shootout.
I don't mind overtime now.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they've only changed the rules in the playoffs. Like those playoff rules could be used in season
There's no reason why you
easily.
can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
every team
I
should.
do. And the only thing it would do is time to certain games. NFL loves that anyway. It's more adverts. It's more opportunity to talk about
Yeah,
it.
that's true. Yeah. Well,
So.
Scott Hansen could probably do without the 9 o'clock games going to overtime.
Yeah.
He's probably
To
begging
be
for
fair,
penalties.
he has a plan of spreading out Hansen's games because like when he got 7 games and then followed by two in the like the
Yeah.
second, it's a bit hard for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like, I mean, we talked about a lot in the season. They really need to work on that next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very quickly, what do you reckon for the hip drop changes? Why would anyone want to play defense anymore?
Yeah, it also depends massively on the actual tackle itself, because I was reading somewhere that was it the DK Metcalf one that he made chasing back Buda Baker a couple of years. That is a hip drop tackle, but I read somewhere that the Logan Wilson one on Mark Andrews, which happened last year, isn't going to be one. But they're the exact same tackle. Like the way they've been brought down is exactly the same. So I don't know how you're going to differentiate it. But I was also reading there was only 100 hip drop tackles made in the NFL this last season.
So is it that important that it needs addressing? If it's only 100
really.
Happening, how many incorrect PI calls are we seeing? Why don't we address that instead? Because an incorrect PI call could absolutely ruin a game as well.
That's on the officiating team, though. It's not on the players. They're not going to highlight
but
that.
Yeah, but why would we do that? Why would we not change that?
Yeah.
That has more impact on a game than a hip drop tackle, potentially.
The hip drop tackle just, it seems that it's going to take them 6 or 7 weeks to get their head around it and work out what we're going to be halfway through the season before we've got. And you've just got to hope that it doesn't really affect a massive game, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm not a fan of it. Right, moving on to quarter two. Free agency moves that have happened since we last chatted. What stood out for you?
Are we going to talk about
what? Yeah,
Jadeveon Clowney again.
Pete might be interesting. The Alexander Mattison trade. Vikings to Raiders.
I'm out on Alexander Mattison. It was a 1 year thing, but I got really excited one summer. But I'm learning from my. One of the things I'm trying to do in 2024 is learn from my mistakes. So the Jets. I'll tell you what we didn't Sims, did we? So because this leads into my point, the Jets are like trying their very best to drag me back in, and I'm just like, no. I was like, I really hope it works for you, and I really want them to be good, but I'm not gonna get drawn back into that. Yes, they're gonna compete, and yes, they're gonna get to 11 wins. I was like, I'm just gonna enjoy watching it and see what happens.
Well, Mike Williams is gonna take Jets all the way, is he?
I think he's a good signing on a 1 year deal for that. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. I think it's 15 million or 15. Up to 15 million.
15 million, which I think is too much.
I mean, for a wide receiver in 2024, it's like if he's the big thing is, can he stay healthy? And he hasn't done. But I mean, Keenan Allen had a couple of big injuries earlier in his career, and then he just started playing every game, and he got over him. And if they bring him in, they take a chance on him, and he stays healthy, I think it's really good money. But good chance he blows his knee out in week four, and they paid 11 million, and they still don't have a second wide receiver.
What do you think that does to Garrett Wilson's value?
Helps it. I think it takes off a lot of the big attention that he's going to get. I think it helps him. I'm all in on Garrett Wilson. I was all in last year on him. I'm not like Pete. I'm gonna stick to my guns and like fall and crumble again this year on them. But I actually think it helps him massively, because Mike Williams is a better receiver than Randall Cobb, and was it Lazard there?
Lazard.
Like, he's a better than them. And I think it'll take away some of his double teams and open him up a little bit more.
Just to be clear, I'm going to be all in on Breece Hall when we get there.
Yeah.
It's just the Jets as an overall. And the big thing that worries me about the Jets is Nathaniel Hackett. I was like, that's the one change. I mean, they were never going to make that change because he's Rodgers' guy, but that's the one change I think they really should have made, because they just didn't look very good at all last year without Rodgers changing the play at the line of scrimmage, because he's called the wrong one. But yeah. I like the Mike Williams. I like the Mike Williams one.
Yeah, and I do agree. I do think it helps Gary Wilson. Like, when Mike Williams was at the Chargers. Keenan Allen was getting 1,000-yard seasons, double-digit touchdowns. Every game with Mike Williams. So,
yeah,
I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Herbert.
It's interesting because I think Mike Williams will help Garrett Wilson, and it depends on the situation because you've got in theory a very good Hall of Fame quarterback there. On the flip side, I think Keenan Allen is damaged, like that Allen trade, which I don't think we talked about, is going to damage DJ Moore's value because I just don't think there's going to be enough from a rookie quarterback to keep two really good receivers, and they're not exactly the same, but they're very similar type of, you haven't got like a field stretcher and an underneath guy. It's like they are very similar, and it wouldn't surprise me if they still added another. Like, I've seen a few mocks where they're still talking about adding another one with that ninth. I was like, all of you keep adding players for Caleb Williams, and all it does is decrease everybody's value. So
yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Keenan Allen, but I've got DJ Moore in our main dynasty league, so I was a bit gutted that he went to the Bears. Because
yeah.
I don't think it helps either of them, really.
Who do you think is going to come out on top between those two, then?
I think it's going to be
Easy. Yeah, my money, if I was had to go one way or the other, I would probably lean Keenan Allen.
When you said H?
I think Keenan Allen's the target guy. I think DJ Moore's the yards guy. It's one of them. I Keenan Allen has, last year he got absolutely spammed on like kind of those shorter routes.
Well, he had to get spammed on everything because he had no one else.
Yeah, there is that, but I personally believe I think he will be like the one that gets the most targets, but I think DJ Moore's there for the deep threat, the big plays and the big yards.
Yeah, fair enough.
And difficult one, really, because they're both really good wide receivers, but in different ways.
I'd say what's going to be interesting is Caleb Williams is coming in to the NFL with the best situation, I think, that a number one overall pick has had. Probably ever, but definitely in years. Like, because they're not the worst team in the league anyway, because it wasn't their pick.
Yeah.
And like I mean, what other number one overall pick comes in and has DJ Moore and Keenan Allen ready to throw the ball to? So, and they've added some pieces across. They've got Swift at running back. They've added some pieces defensively. And you just look across and you think they've got a good comes in and performs anywhere to the level that he's supposed to.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm absolutely excited to see the Bears this year, which I've never said.
No, I've said that. They're supposed to be coming to London, aren't they? And I was like, I'd quite like to see that game.
Would I go to London for him?
You know, that's great. I'm really excited. I'm not travelling 2 hours down the road to watch
it. But not London excited. I mean, let's calm down a little bit.
I'm really excited to turn my TV on, but I'm not watching.
Oh, yeah.
I might stay up late one night, but I'm not actually going to leave my house to go watch it. Brilliant. That level of excitement.
So let's talk about the Steelers roundabout at quarterback. So all that's happened since we last chatted.
Did we not talk about that on the last episode?
No, Fields haven't been picked up when we last chatted.
I don't understand it.
No. Russell Wilson thing, then let Kenny Pickett go. Pickett apparently didn't handle the Russell Wilson
pick. Yeah, he's refuted that though, hasn't he, since?
Well. And there was the rumour that he also refused to suit up towards the end of last season when he lost the job to Mason Rudolph. So the Steelers had problems with his attitude, he's denied.
The way he played last year, he can't moan about them looking like the
he
way
didn't
he
play.
Played. Last year, well, he was it something daft like in his 3 years, he's just like he's touchdown. He doesn't throw a touchdown. He's thrown two touchdowns in one game. That's
I'm not defending him. I'm not defending him, but I was listening to another podcast, and I haven't been back and checked this, but I bust this podcast. And I mean, I've always said, I think earlier in the year, you could say, you've seen enough now to know he's not going to be the franchise quarterback of the future. I've got no problem with them moving on from him, but he did. They got rid of Matt Canada, and he then went on to have his best game he's probably ever had in a Steelers shirt.
Yeah.
Then he got injured. Then he never played again. So,
yeah. Well, that's
I mean,
the point
they
I was
see
make.
Him more than
the start
we
of last season. The start of last season, everyone was blaming Matt Canada. It was not Pickett's fault. He's a franchise quarterback. He's the future of the Steelers. It's Matt Canada's fault. Play calling's awful. And then they get rid of Matt Canada.
But so,
and then they get rid of Kenny Pickett.
So explain this to me. This is my understanding of the situation. And I'd love one of you to tell me I've got it wrong, right? They've got Russell Wilson on a one-year deal for peanuts.
Yes. 1.3 million,
because
yeah.
the Broncos are paying most of his salary.
Yeah, the Broncos are paying
then
38
got,
million salary.
They've then got Fields, who's going into his fourth year of his rookie deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So unless they pick up his fifth-year option, they've effectively got him on a one-year contract, paying him very little.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're paying less than 5 million for both of those two running backs.
So they've got two quarterbacks, and unless they pick up his fifth-year option, which by all accounts they're not going to do,
they've not got a quarterback next year.
This is what I've heard.
This is like if you're the Steelers now, you've made that trade for Justin Fields. In my opinion, he's now going to be your like long term or someone that you're going to try and utilize. Like
right,
you can't. There's no point in trading for him. Getting his what fourth year rookie contract and not taking that fifth year option. There's no point
right,
in
so this is my question. This is the bit where I'm confused. So everything I've heard is they're not going to pick up his fifth year option. So if they don't, I don't understand it. They've basically got two quarterbacks, neither of whom are under contract after next year, and therefore they don't have a quarterback moving forward. If they do pick up his fifth year option, why have they got Russell? Because why pick up his fifth year option and then not play him next year so that you've got him the year after when you paid him 25 million? You might as well just play him next year.
They will play him here and there. Justin Fields is essentially the new Jacoby Brissett.
But you might if
you're
paying
field,
him 25
you know
million.
Coming.
If you're paying him 25 million in 2025, I'd want to get him used to the offense and get him working this year. In which case, why have you got Russell Wilson? It's just I can't, and like I say, I'm missing something, but I can't get my head around it.
I think it's down to I think the Steelers wanted Russell Wilson because he was obviously available, he was cheap, and you get him in, and that's caused Kenny Pickett. Like, obviously something's happened with Pickett. Like, there's no way you've just gone right. All right, then we'll accept what we'll accept for him. And then the fact that the Steelers have picked up Justin Fields for what is it, a sixth round with a conditional fourth round, like. Or
yeah,
a conditional fourth round.
It's a sixth round pick, unless he plays 51% of the snaps, and then it's a fourth round pick.
Yeah, that's a steal. That is a steal. Like I understand what you're saying, Pete. You don't need those two first or QB ones, but if you're looking at it, Justin Fields is one, a solid enough quarterback. Two, you've only got Russell Wilson for this year before he costs you a fortune. So why not take Justin Fields, have him in the building, see what he's like, and get all the background and everything like that, and then you can develop him behind Russell Wilson. One of the major criticisms of Justin Fields is he's not quite there with his throwing. He's not professional, like not that he's not professional enough, but like on the field he makes rash decisions. What's sitting behind a Super Bowl winning quarterback for a season and let him learn? It makes sense to me to do something like that with a guy like Fields who's shown glimpses of brilliance, but in the same vein has struggled at certain times.
I see what you're saying.
So
there.
You think they're
going
to,
on
that base.
It does make sense in what you're saying, but how is Justin Fields happy with this situation? He must have been promised
clearly
something.
On the just said though, they've got to pick up his fifth year option, and they've got less than 5 weeks to do it by the sounds of it. So I don't know. Maybe we revisit this at the start of May when we decide whether they have done it or not.
They don't, they'll offer him a contract though.
Yeah, but yeah.
A whole year to work out what they want to do. So yeah, even if he don't have his fifth year option, it might be a cheaper option going in.
As we're talking quarterbacks, just quickly want to fit this in because it blew my mind. Do you know, in terms of cash paid to quarterbacks next year, who the ninth highest paid quarterback in the NFL is going to be next year? And I'll give you a clue. It's a trick question.
Is it a backup?
It's Taysom Hill.
I'll give you another clue. He won't even throw a pass.
Oh.
No, this is cash paid to this person. And he's a quarterback, but he won't throw a pass.
No.
Tom Brady is going to be paid more than basically every player in the NFL next year, apart from eight of them, to do a job that he's never done before.
How?
He's getting $37.5 million.
Yeah, but do you know why?
Yeah, it'd be on like restructured contracts so that you pay like further down the line. So he's a dead cap hit.
No, he's getting $37.5 million from Fox to do the broadcasting.
Oh, that's an absolute swindle. I thought you meant he was going to get paid by the Bucks.
But no, $37.5 million from Fox. He's come in. They've put him at number one ahead of Olsen, who's getting demoted, despite the fact they do the job. And he's never done the job before.
Where's Tony Romo on that list then?
I have no idea.
John.
But yeah, $37.5 million. And do you know how much Greg Olsen gets next year?
Go on.
Oh.
Three.
$3 million.
Yeah.
$3 million.
Brilliant.
And he's done it. He's really good at it. And Tom Brady's coming in and earning 12 times as much.
Right, so for quarter three and some of four, I thought we would do a bit of a game. I've come up with a game for Pete and H, and we're doing countdown. So for those who are listening, we are going to put this out as a video. So if you want to pause now and wait for the video to come out, that's totally fine. However, I'm going to try and make it so you can play along without the video, should you not wish to watch it. I don't know why. And we'll try and make it as fun for you as possible. So pause it now. Get a pen and paper, and then we'll see you on the socials to see how you did against H and Pete. So it's NFL Countdown. I'm sure you guys are both familiar with how Countdown works. I've got 17 players lined up, and I've got anagrams of their names, and it's going to be the first one to name the player.
Oh, okay.
You with me, H?
Enjoying it already. Being dyslexic, I'm at a disadvantage. So,
here we go. The excuse is coming out.
See, I think being dyslexic helps H because he's going to automatically jumble the words anyway.
Yeah. I thought it was a hindrance, but it's not.
Yeah. So there's no buzzers. It's the first one to shout out the answer. So the anagram will come up. You get 30 seconds. At 10 seconds, I'll give you a hint. At 20 seconds, I'll give you a second hint. Then it's the first one to shout it out gets it.
This really is, if you're listening to this podcast, this is now terrible podcasting. So this couldn't be any more visual if you tried.
I'm going to give them the letters so they can write the letters down at home and then try and figure it out before you guys.
Okay.
Now, yeah. This took me a while to make, and you'll see why in a sec when I go onto the next screen. It's mainly because I spent most of the time looking at pictures of Rachel Riley.
Yeah, fair.
Which, if you are watching this video when we put it up on the socials, you'll understand why. So you're both ready then?
Yeah, go for it.
So number one. Is cake E-R-R-D-R. So C-A-K-E-E-R-R-D-R. Timer starts now.
God, this is harder than I thought it was going to be.
It's a quarterback.
Drake May. No. Where's my M?
He's a sexy man.
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
Yes, oh. H. H has got it. That's 1-0 to H.
When you said sexy, I knew who it was.
Just sexy.
Yeah, so, as soon as you said a sexy quarterback, I knew exactly who that was. There's only one.
That's exactly right. And you can see why this took me so long to make.
Yeah, she is lovely.
Sorry?
She is lovely.
She does look lovely. She's a United fan, though, so that counts against her.
Yeah, she's lovely. She's a United fan. She's intelligent. She's got a whole lot.
She's great at maths, but she can't be that clever if she's a United fan. So, we understand the game now, don't we? We're in.
Yeah. Good practice run now.
Wait.
Can I ask? Is it always full names?
Yes.
Oh, so I was looking for a surname. Never mind. Right.
There is a surname. It's now. It's Derek Carr. Is his surname there?
No, as in I was just looking for a surname within those letters. I didn't know it was a full name.
No, they're all full names. Okay. Number two is Cakes Mojo. CakesMojo.
Oh.
It's a running back.
James Cook.
Oh, Hallam.
I got James. I was writing down the rest of the letters to try and see what was left.
Oh my word! And he already had the dyslexia excuse lined up, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm not very good at this.
There's 15 still to go though.
Long when way to go. Mate.
When are we moving on to the numbers? that's the bit I could do.
Two from the top, one from the middle, three from the bottom.
Yeah.
Right, number three. Makes Vein, MakesVein. It's a wide receiver. Nine straight 1,000-yard years.
Mike Evans.
I'm giving that one to Pete.
What?
Pete got there just ahead of their H. Well done, Pete. That is Mike Evans.
Without that clue, I never would have got there because I've already spelled out Kevin, and I'm trying to think of a wide receiver called Kevin.
I like that. Well, you picked the first name and you just stuck on that then.
Yeah,
there's a Kevin somewhere. Number four. Petty Silk. PetySilk. It's a tight end.
Oh my God.
Arthur Smith ruined him.
Oh, Kyle Pitts.
Yes, 2-0, Pete. Well done, mate.
Pete's coming through like delayed on mine, so I think I'm winning these.
Oh, and... is he?
It's your internet connection, that, mate.
Yeah.
You need to get fibre, mate. So, what first name were you invested in there, Pete?
I couldn't even get one.
Like number five.
Mate, I'm literally useless at this until you give us the clues and then I've got a chance.
Yeah, to be fair, the anagrams don't matter. You're just listening for the key clues. Yeah. All right, number five. Something. SOMETHING. Quarterback.
quarterback.
Pete loves him.
Kyler Murray.
No. Oh,
what about that? And I love him.
Yeah, you do. You're a big. You stand up for him a lot. It's
Patrick Mahomes. Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith.
I think love's probably a strong phrase.
Well, you love him more than most normal people.
Yeah, well, I might rate him higher than most people, but that's not hard, is it?
No. Number six. Chunk BBCI. So that's CH.
Nick Chubb.
Oh my word.
That was incredibly quick. Well done.
Wow. What gave it you there, H?
The CHU and then double B in the middle.
Ah, okay. All right.
It was when, yeah.
Fair enough. That was rapid. Number seven. Badge Visa. BADGE VISA.
You have put a lot of effort into this.
Thank you. This is a wide receiver.
Oh, wow.
He's either 0 points or 30.
Gabe Davis.
It is Gabe Davis. 0 or 30, Gabe Davis. 4-2, we're currently at. Moving on to number eight. Acted onto ACTEDONTO. Tight end.
Cade Otton.
Cade Otton. H steaming away now.
Yeah. It's only going one way, this, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it your Wi-Fi, Pete?
Yeah. I'm still on Mike Evans.
Still on Kevin.
It's not changed for me. I don't even know what he's looking at.
Pete's just staring at Rachel Riley. He's not even looking at the letters. Just zoned out. Number nine. Shell Joan. SHELLJOAN. It's a quarterback. Or it could be a linebacker.
Could be a linebacker.
Oh, Joe Allen. No, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yeah.
Who is Joe Allen?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, is that
Joe Allen? He used to play midfield for Wales.
He did, didn't he? I will give it to you, though, Pete. You got that, yeah. Second attempt.
Mate, I almost said Joan Allen. So. Josh Allen.
Sounds like a country singer. Joan Allen. Right, 5-3. Number 10. Shows.
Josh Allen.
Oh my God.
That's ridiculous.
SHOWSNODJ. And it is instantly H there, giving no chance to any of the listeners. Josh Downs.
It was. Well, it's better than my guess. My guess was going to be John Snow.
John Snow.
Also correct.
To be fair, when I put that one down, I was like, that's nailed on one for Pete there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even have it's not come up yet. So. H is straight in there, isn't it?
Yeah. Remember when H said he'd be rubbish at this?
Yeah.
Right, number...
It's making me look even worse, isn't it, when he says he's going to be rubbish and then beats me.
Well, you're three down with seven to play. But number 11 is Def Fogg Jr. DEAF FOG JR. Quarterback.
Jared Goff.
It is, of course, Jared Goff.
Well done.
Well done, H. What's going on, Pete?
I'm just not very good at this.
Oh. So you can come up with a game for next time.
Yeah.
Number 12. Yeah,
can I go back to hosting next week?
Yeah. Number 12 is Belt Dry Yo. BELTDRYYO. So wide receiver.
And I've done a Pete here.
Are you stuck on Troy as well?
He is a Bengals free agent.
Oh, Tyler Boyd.
Just before the end, Pete gets it in there. Tyler Boyd. Who are you thought you stuck on?
Troy, somebody or other.
I went Leroy, and I was like,
I was like, Troy Deeney? Does he play wide receiver?
You're wow. Jenkins. Well done, Pete. Moving Thanks. On to number 13. Two. Allow Mesh. ALLOWMESH. The quarterback. He had his own feature on this podcast.
Sam Howell.
It is, of course, H. Sam Howell.
Do you know when he said that, I still couldn't think of his name. I was like, I'm terrible at this.
Oh. Well, you are four down with four to play.
Yeah, so.
So, you need to play out of the bag here now, mate. Number 14. Warn Hobo N. WARNHOBON. It is a wide receiver.
Not a clue.
H should get this.
H should get it.
It is.
Noah Brown.
Noah Brown.
Oh.
Damn.
Noah Brown.
Not in time.
Unlucky there, H. And Pete, just after the buzzer, sorry, before I pressed it. Number 15. Boss Hob DJ. BOSS. HOBDJ.
Josh Dobbs.
It is Josh Dobbs. I think the listeners might be getting pelted this week. Usually someone beats us. I think H is doing really well there.
Yeah.
The clues for Josh Dobbs were QB, and the second one is Gash.
It's a bit harsh.
Number 16. Yoro Bow Jr.
Joe Burrow.
Oh, my word. Wow. Well done, H, again.
Yeah, beat me.
Just. And the last one, which Pete will be glad to know. Swivel Ill. SWIVELILL.
Will Levis.
Oh, I had that as well. Oh, come on.
It's Will Levis.
There's a couple I was very close to getting, but I mean, still lost. Well done, H.
Well done, H. Very, very good effort there.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic effort. So well done. So any of us at home, whether you were watching on the video, which, to be fair, if you're going to beat H, you needed to be watching the video.
Yeah.
So you got there a couple of them before I'd even had a chance to read the letters out. But then if you were listening along, and you managed to pause it, write them down, let us know if you beat any of the lads. And that was Countdown. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's a bit different. Thanks, mate.
It's a bit different. And for the end, or for the last of the episode, H has got a couple of rants.
Just the one rant, actually, more than anything. So how long have I got, by the way?
Oh, you've got time. You've got time.
So it's something that I'm probably more... What's the right word? Probably see it a little bit more because of what happened last year in the draft and the fact that the Texans were always drafting a QB. But my rant is going to be, these teams need to stop with like trying to like make somebody fall. So last year it was CJ Stroud. The Titans released that he was failed the S2 test and he was uncoachable and this, that, and the other. This year, it seems like Drake May is getting that treatment. So 4 weeks ago, Drake May on like all mock drafts that you see, Drake May is number two. All right, Jaden Daniels comes in there at three or two at occasional spots. He is now being drafted on a draft that I saw today, which Bookie Brooks released. He's now getting drafted at 12 behind Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, and I also read somewhere today that the Vikings prefer Michael Penix over him, who is a second rounder. I get you're trying to get the guy to fall, but like you have to stop this. Like it's, I understand why they're doing it.
There might be an element of that, but I think because I saw the Bookie Brooks draft as well, funnily enough, which I don't really pay that much attention. You've got to bear in mind we're like firmly into mock draft season, and they're asking these analysts to come up with a new mock draft every week, so they can't just release the same thing. So they are going to mix it up a bit. And as we get closer to the time, he'll move back up. It's like, it's just one of those things.
No, this is where I disagree. Because if you look, it's always Drake May. It's never Jaden Daniels. All right, let's face it. Caleb Williams is number one overall. It's not even going to be debated that. I'm not even touching on that one. You look at Drake May's figures, Jaden Daniels' figures, and JJ McCarthy's figures. There is an argument. I personally didn't know how good Jaden Daniels sort of statistically was. He's brilliant, I will say that. And I can understand you favouring him over Drake May. But to say JJ McCarthy, Bo Nix and Michael Penix are now the same level as the guy that was last year's draft would be the top, him and Caleb would be the top two quarterbacks. I don't understand how, like, he's now this guy that's almost undraftable, or
I don't know why I'm like, getting drawn into this with you. Should just lift you to it. But I don't know. But I think Bookie Brooks has got him going at 11. Nobody's saying he's undraftable. He's the fourth quarterback off the board.
Yeah, no, undraftable was the wrong word, but he is easily the top three quarterbacks of this draft.
Right,
easily. I think he's top two.
What you've got to remember is, and I don't disagree with you, and he may end up going top three. What you've got to remember is, Jaden Daniels just had his pro day, because there's a lot on. There's a lot of
It was today.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about him today, and JJ McCarthy had his 2 days ago or the end of last week. And
Jaden Daniels was another one today. They said he's done his pro day, but he's not throwing a ball. He's not doing drills.
Yeah, but JJ McCarthy was getting bigged up by Hardball last week, and it was like, oh, you know, it's the best I've ever seen anybody throw, which is ridiculous because he was his coach at Michigan, so he's going to say that.
Well, yeah.
But I was
if
like,
he was
I
that
think
good at throwing, why didn't he throw it all last year then? Why did they
mate,
rely
you've
on the
got
run game?
H, you've got 4 weeks until the draft. You need to calm down.
No, it's upsetting me. Like, because there's going to be other players that are going to come out, and people are going to try and push them down the draft board so that it's an easier draft pick, and it just irritates me.
That is,
it
that
doesn't
is,
work. It does.
That's
it doesn't
the whole
work.
Point of the draft.
No, it's not.
If you're
it's
drafting
draft
late, if you're drafting later in the rounds, your intention is to push someone's value down as much as you can.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to push someone's value down, keep adding these quarterbacks into the first round. Then I saw someone today. They reckon six quarterbacks are going to be drafted in the first round now.
They will.
There's not six quarterbacks in this draft.
I've never seen eight so wound up.
You need to calm down.
I mean, I'm sorry. This is the first time our listeners have seen our faces on a video.
I'm ranting.
It just so happens that it's just gone full Gannon. He's just ranting about Trey May.
We're firmly in draft mock draft season, so you need to calm down about certain mock drafts and well, because that's what's going to happen. You're going because if they don't say stuff like that and they don't go, oh, he's going to go lower and he's coming up higher and everything else, they'll have nothing to talk about for the next 4 weeks because there's literally nothing happening in the NFL for the next 4 weeks until the draft now.
Like if you're an NFL analyst and you're doing all these mock drafts, you must hate this time of year because you do a mock draft at 9 o'clock on Monday morning. And by lunchtime, it's irrelevant because someone's been traded, someone's been cut, someone's gone to another team, someone's retired. Like Damien Harris retired yesterday. Like your mock draft that you've just done is now totally irrelevant. And now you're doing another one. You must hate this time of year.
Yeah.
H is looking like he'd love it.
I understand your point, like, but it happened with CJ last year, and it was only it's probably because of CJ that I'd noticed it more of last year and like this year, and I can understand. Yeah, but all of the stuff that was released about CJ Stroud was don't draft him. He's not a team player. He's not, you know, he failed the S2 test and all that came out about him. He's uncoachable. He falls out with his coaches and will only speak to the head coach and all this and all that. And it couldn't be further from the truth. And luckily, we did our own work on him. There was rumours that Richardson was going to go one overall, which I can understand. Richardson in his pro day was outstanding and the test on the combine was outstanding. I just don't... And I can understand the hype of JJ McCarthy because he's just won the college championship. I can understand why he's being pushed higher, but I can't understand him
right.
All of a
okay.
sudden making someone like so, Drake May drop 11 in a mock draft. If anything, and I understand what you're saying, Bucky, with the Vikings pick, he should have just done a projected trade up then. Why is he making him fall? And it's not just Drake May. There are other players that will do it, but it's just, I hate it.
So Bucky Brooks, on the latest, I'm on the NFL website now, Bucky Brooks has got him going at 11, which is clearly what you've seen, which has upset you. The next guy along, Chad Reuter, whoever he is, draft analyst, has got him going number 3 to the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
The next one along is Daniel Jeremiah.
Sorry, Pete, just while you're on that, why are you on Bucky Brooks's? Who are the Patriots taking instead of Drake May?
Hang on. Bucky Brooks. I think they're taking McCarthy.
Right.
Yeah, JJ McCarthy. And they've got Jaden Daniels at 2.
Yeah. Caleb, Jaden Daniels, and JJ McCarthy. Daniel Jeremiah has got Derek May going. Has got Derek May. It's got Drake May going at 2 to the Washington Commanders.
And I listened to his, so I listened to him on Pat McAfee earlier on today, and he said there is no way Drake May doesn't go to. So that's how highly he rates him.
So your problem, but really, H, is just purely with Bucky Brooks.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
Everyone else has got him going top four.
No, no, it's all the other one, like all these rumors. So apparently he's the next Mitchell Trubisky and stuff like that that I'm reading, and I'm just like, you can't. Like, you can't say that. Like, it, well, you can, but it just, it doesn't make sense to me, because last year he was better than Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis by a country mile. And granted, his stats for that 2022 were outstanding. His stats this year were outstanding as well.
Everyone else has got him going top three. And even Bucky Brooks. The last time he did this at the end of February,
It's also what people are saying, that he's going to be Trubisky and all this. Like, it's they're clearly trying to get him to drop, and I just don't think it's fair on the kid.
At this point now in the off season, like, free agency has died down. There's not much else going on. So if you're a GM or a coach at another team, why not spend your day winding other teams up?
The thing...
I'm all for it.
And the thing is...
The Bengals picking at 18. I would try my best to mess with the 17 teams above us as much as I could.
Bucky Brooks said he's taking Brian Thomas at 18. I was like, that look, I've not seen much, but that looks like a good pick. So
I've not seen any college, and that sounds like a reasonable pick.
He's a talented boy. Have a look at his pro day catch today. You'll be all in on him.
I think
I want Brock Bowers.
There's 4.5 weeks or something. There's 4 weeks to the draft. Ish, they can't just say the thing you're missing a bit is they can't just say positive things about. I've seen negative things said about Caleb Williams. I've seen negative things said about Marvin Harrison. He's like, you can't just go in. You can't just spend the next 4 weeks going, every player in the top 15 of this draft is absolutely brilliant. Like, they've got. You know, it's their job to kind of go, that might not work out, because do you know what? Half of them won't work out.
I completely understand it, but to just come out with some of the stuff that they're coming out with now is just like, it's like I said, be consistent in what you're saying. So that's my problem with it. 1 minute is better than any draft prospect of last year, and now he's Mitchell Trubisky part two. It's like, you can't say those two different things.
Who was called him Mitchell Trubisky?
I can't remember. I think it was one of those things. I'll find it. But somebody is like, it was one of them where it's like an NFL scout has said this, and it's one of them stupid things online.
If I was that scout and I've done that to mess with his draft position or mess with the teams that are likely to draft him, I've done that intentionally to have that effect. But then I found out. It really wound up some random podcaster from Manchester. Honestly, I wouldn't sleep. I'd be so happy. If I just randomly came across this podcast and I saw H going off for 10 minutes about Drake May's draft stock.
It's not just Drake May. There's going to be others. I think Keon Coleman's probably one that people are starting to say he's not a first round wide receiver now, when I can't even speak now, I'm that angry. Keon Coleman's like somebody that's now supposedly going to be falling. I know there was a lot of hype around Xavier Worthy, so he's like, his draft capital's gone up, which is, I can understand it with the speed that he ran at the combine and stuff like that, which means someone's got to drop down. I don't know, like, it just annoys me. Like, if you're gonna be one of these analysts or one of these people that watches tape and all that, stuff. Just be consistent with what you're saying. That's what annoys me.
But I think they probably are being consistent, but you're reading lots of different people's opinions and then thinking that they're not being consistent. It's not the same guy isn't saying one week he's brilliant and the next week he's terrible.
Then I'd be interested to know who Bucky Brooks supports as a team. Because he might be using his influence as an analyst and his voice in the media to do his team a favour.
There's also that element of, if you're a draft analyst, so you take those top four quarterbacks, and it seems the general opinion is that they are going to be the top four quarterbacks, the four that go in the first round of the draft, and it'll be a massive shock if, in one order or not, another, it'll be a massive shock if that's any different. But history tells us that three of them at least are going to bomb. So three of them are going to fail. So if you're a draft analyst and you want your opinion to be like counted, the best thing you could possibly do is say that one of them, like pick one and say he's not going to do well, because the chances are you're going to be right. Whereas if you stick your flag in someone and say he's going to be great, the chances are you're going to be wrong.
Yeah, you've got like a 75% success opportunity.
The chances that that two of those quarterbacks in 5 years' time we're still talking about them being two of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL are very, very slim, and because that's just the way the draft works.
I mean, if you want, you could go back and see what Bucky Brooks said about Zach Wilson at the time.
Yeah,
I bet he banked him to be, or he backed him to be amazing.
It's not just him though. That's my. It is what it is. I'll start now, but there's loads of them that are doing it, and it just annoys me.
Right. Well, thank you, H, for that.
Can I make a suggestion? But after this, you delete the NFL app for about a month. And to be honest, I'd just delete all of it. I wouldn't pay any attention for the next 6 weeks because you haven't even got a first round pick as a Texans anymore, so it doesn't matter to you. You traded it away.
The differences between me and you, Pete, is I watch quite a lot of college football,
it's winded you up. Take a break.
Cheers for that, H. Thank you for
run over.
at least amusing me and Pete for the last 10 minutes. We appreciate that. And just like the NFL app, I probably advise you come off Twitter and Facebook as well in the next few weeks. But for the listeners, while we're on the socials, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. Let us know how you got on with Countdown. I'd be surprised if anyone managed to beat H, because he was pretty unreal at that, to be fair. But do let us know how you got on. Like and share. You know, we're into year two now. We want to give this podcast a big push for the year, see how far we can take it. Please help us out. We need you guys for that. We really appreciate it. Thanks very much, guys. See you next week.